Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, Mark and I really break down the math on math, and Mark's particularly animated in today's show and funny. And you have to listen all the way to the end when he's giving himself the plugs because he does a really funny riff. So we got all that coming, some Weinstein news, some news about,
Lady Gaga's
dad. Lady Gaga's dad, the trial that's going on out here, the Jinxed. Was it Jinxed?
Yeah, it was the Robert Durst trial, I think it was called, the Jinx.
Yeah, going on in L.A. We'll do all that. First, I'll hit Tommy John. Tommy John, man, they don't give an F. They give three Fs. Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching, no riding up. If you don't love your first pair, you'll get a refund with the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm wearing the underpants right now. It's the best, man. It dries really fast. I told you guys I was on the rowing machine wearing my Tommy John t-shirt the other night and just got off the rowing machine and put a sweat jacket on and drove to the Laugh Factory, and it was dry by the time I got there. And I worked up a little froth as well. So you can get it at TommyJohn.com. You can get your stuff at over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom's. It's Tommy John, right, Gary?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. Get ready because March's shipment is one of the best nuts yet. You'll get two hand-rolled Mark Garagos-approved cigars delivered in a custom wood box. A Did You Feed the Dog calendar, so you'll never forget to not starve your dog. A pack of Sabel's chocolate chip cookies. Four custom Delta Foo shot glasses, so you can make the most of your day wasted. And of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, bigger than Mendick. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagos over there.
I just flew in from Utah. Boy, are my arms tired.
I missed that joke.
Right.
I want to thank 8 Sleep and NetSuite and Fresh Book and Tommy John and LegalZoom for sponsoring this program. We were talking off the air moments ago about being busy, and I said, save it for the air. And Mark said, how are you doing? I said, I'm busy. And Mark said, that's good. And I reflected upon that. And here's what I figured out.
Okay.
Because I was just talking to Matt about signing me up for the Monterey Rolex Historic races coming up in August. And I realized busy is to your sort of life what the tachometer is to the race car.
Right.
And for
a tachometer, for those of you who have no idea what that is,
it's a gauge that tells you the revolutions of the engine.
Exactly.
So if you
you realize in today's day and age, most people have no idea what
so you know when to shift and they don't know what shift.
Just as an aside to give you an indication of why I'm so sensitive to this, I had two tickets yesterday, one to go to New York, one to come to L.A. My car, my Porsche, was at Burbank, and it's a stick. And in fact, it's a 12-year-old because I refuse to buy a new Porsche unless there's a stick on it. So I say to this a lawyer who works for me, who's there in Utah, you're flying back to Burbank. Can you pick up my car out of valet and take it downtown and leave it at the office?
I know where this is going, right? Right.
Can't drive a stick. It's sad. It's not only sad. I've said this to Jake a million times. You can say whatever you want about what a horrible father I am, but I taught you how to tie a freaking tie and how to drive a stick. Those are the two skills a father is supposed to teach his son. Otherwise, you failed.
So schedule is to your life what the tachometer is to the race car, which is if you are shifting that race car – if you're short shifting, as they call it, if you're shifting that car,
we just eliminated another 30% of the demo who has no idea what a short shift is. How about a double clutch? Okay. I keep interrupting
the car pulls.
Right.
If you're shifting that car at 5,500 RPMs, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
You're not winning that race. You're not coming in the middle of that race. You're going nowhere. If you go past the red line, if you go past the rev limiter, you may blow up the engine. And also the engine cuts. Right. A lot of those cars have rev limiters, so you can't just blow them up.
The old VW didn't, because we used to try to blow it up, and we couldn't do it.
So you got to get to 7,600 or maybe 8,000, and then you shift. If you keep going past 8,000, it'll cut out as you've hit your rev limiter. So the thing about the schedule is if you're just short shifting at 3,000 RPMs, then you just become my dad. You go, you never win any races. You never feel that feeling being pulled back into the seat. You never have that. On the other hand, if you go berserk with your schedule and you keep bouncing off the rev limiter, you're going to be miserable.
By
the
way,
pull it right to that red line and then shift.
It works for – this is – you know, we may have just solved some meanings of life. First of all, the stick shift, the tachometer, and revolutions per minute also applies to exercise.
Right.
High-intensity hit. Okay,
right.
High-intensity. It's the same thing. You go fast and then slow down. Fast and slow down. You got to do the same thing. Why? Because you have to expand the kind of – you can't overexpand. It's all extremes in moderation. Otherwise, and this also applies to your muscle theory, by the way. And having to – you've got to kind of get outside of your comfort zone in order to grow and learn and everything else. So this could be the clutch and tachometer could be the RPM theory of life.
I like it.
It works in almost every direction. In fact, it's funny. I was telling Gary – I sent a story to Gary, and Gary said, Adam's been obsessed with this. Do you know
story?
Which story?
I don't think I used the word obsessed, but Adam tweeted about it. It's the story about the tweet.
Wait a second.
You've been consumed with the idea of math leaving our society. That I believe I did say.
I have been.
And I had on a witness on the stand 2 days this week, and it was appalling just how every – not only the witness, I mean, I get that, but the courtroom. I mean, people have no – the math aptitude of the average human, I'm dealing with highly educated people. I'm talking lawyers on both sides, my team, the other team, the government, the witness, you know, and we're dealing with a numbers case. It's an IRS case. It's a numbers case, right? The math aptitude, I don't even know how you get out of fourth grade at what I'm seeing as the general population. It's astonishing to me.
Well, what I was trying to draw a line to is math. I was saying, you know, things like do the math or doesn't add up or doesn't pencil out. You know, these are all terms of it's got to add up. Or they go, look, you're saying 1 and 1 is 3. I'm sorry. These are facts. You know what I mean? Like, we use math as a metaphor for facts and truth, you know, because there is no, you know, 2 times 7 is 14. There's no other ways around that. It's not 13. It's not 15. And whatever you believe in your heart doesn't change the math.
The math.
You know?
Right.
And
now, when somebody says 1 plus 1 equals 3, it's you're conveying a different sentiment.
So, right.
Right.
So you and I live in this facts-based world, which is a math-based world. And correct. All the people that build race engines or trestle bridges also live in a math-based, fact-based world.
If you run a business and you can't do math, you're not going to stay in business.
Right.
Period.
Bernie Sanders doesn't have to do the math on his business.
He's never run a business.
He doesn't need to.
No, he's never run a business.
He knows what he feels.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the ledger says at the end of the year.
Right. But
quarterly earnings do.
Right. Or the people who do the math that rising boat raises all, you know, right. or the rising tide raises all boats.
Right. And that's why when he's being interviewed and they want to know how much is it going to cost to forgive all the debt for college.
It's cheaper in the long run. Right. That's all you have to answer. It's cheaper in the long run. I'm going to tell you that.
And then he also goes, Medicare for all or health care for all, forgiveness of college debt, free college. How much is it going to cost? You're like, Anderson, I haven't counted every nickel and every dime. It's like, no, we're talking about billions and trillions of dollars. We're not talking about down to the last dime or nickel. He doesn't want to do the math. He wants to do the feelings. And traditionally, a lot of women, for instance, want the feeling more than the math. Because when they do the thing where you go, oh, don't go out, it's cold, you'll get a cold. And you go, that doesn't have anything to do with getting a cold. Like being cold doesn't give you a cold. They go, put a sweater on anyway. You know, they're not doing the math, they're doing the feelings, which is a good thing, but it's not a good thing globally.
It's not good for politicians to do. Well, not only is it not good for politicians to do, I'm going to come back to the trial again. I'm going crazy this week. I'm trying to show one of the factual predicates here is that my client and I had a witness on the stand, and I'm trying to convey to the jury that somebody could take a long view of an investment, that and specifically it was a fuel additive. And the fuel additive cleans the air, and it also has the added benefit of reducing friction in the engine. So there's a kind of a double whammy that you get, or a double benefit. And I'm trying to explain how somebody would invest in a 10-year program in order to market this, because once they get it mandated at a state or permissively to be used at a state, not only do you get tax credits, but you also have a market that you've just opened up. If you want to go to Beijing and sell this additive that's going to clean the air, and at the same time it's going to save them money, of course, you know, it's a zillion-dollar market.
Right.
I'm explaining, I'm dumbing it down as far as I can, and I'm telling you, I won't specify the names because they made me apologize to somebody yesterday who I kind of ransacked, but it's astonishing how people have no idea. In fact, I got the witness finally to say, it's just like what a pharmaceutical company does when they do R&D on some kind of a cure. Then they want protection for that for the period of the patent because right. they've spent $100 million and in order to recoup that. Otherwise, there's no financial incentive. You cannot believe how that just is incomprehensible. That kind of math, that kind of deferred gratification that's built into the math, the idea of investing for a market that then will give you a return and that you're not going to get an immediate return. Try explaining to a government lawyer sometime the idea that you're going to not take a paycheck every 2 weeks because you want to, you know, you may be doing a contingency case where you're thinking long term, or you may be doing an investment and you don't want an immediate thing. It's incomprehensible. What do you mean I have to wait a day?
Well, I'll tell you the scariest thing about the time we're living in. And Gary, you can play that clip just because it makes me laugh every time. But I'll tell you then the
right, this
scary
is the
ramifications of Brian Williams and Mara Gay.
Mara Gay, who's on the New York Times editorial board. So, you know, when I get frustrated as I'm sitting there in a courtroom, Mara Gay is a highly educated, highly intelligent woman. And check this out.
Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest
disturbing.
You know what we're talking about here, disturbing. Which is there's too much money in politics.
All right.
Okay. This is.
All right. You know what, Gary? Speaking of editorial staff, I've talked about this many times. So this shall be our downfall because.
Is this what you're going to say? Is that it had to go through how many layers in order to get up on the screen?
I mean, I have many theories behind that. But okay. The editorial staff of the Los Angeles Times writing about arming teachers and school shootings, they're not doing the math. See, here's the problem with the math. Everyone's phone has a calculator.
Right.
You know, my son and I say all the time, my son said to me the other day, he likes math. He does it in his head, you know, and he goes, we're driving around La Cañada. And he goes, I got the Deontay Wilder fight. And I said, Christ, how much was that? It's like $73. And then I go, or $76, whatever it is. And I go, well, that's going to cost me. And he goes, yeah, but don't worry. I did it through the ESPN app. We saved 3%. I said, 3%. Well, good. I'm going to go with the Rolls Royce dealership now and trade in this wagon. So he goes, it saved 3%. So then he goes, I go, you know how much 3% is of $76? And I'm doing it in my head and he's doing it in his head. And he comes up with, $2.50. And I go, no, it's $2.25. And then he goes, maybe it's $75 straight on. And he goes, no, I think it's $2.50. And I go, no, it's $2.25. And then he goes in his phone and he goes, oh, yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have that fucking phone in society. We're just arguing the entire time. Right. He knows in his heart it's 250. I happen to know it's 225 because I did the goddamn math, but you know what you know.
Right.
And then we'll never. And by the way, you found two friends who agree with you.
Well,
they think it's 250.
This is what bugs me. If you look at the graphic that is up when they're talking, the graphic is almost perfectly 500 million over 327. Is it
right,
not, Gary?
Right.
Look at that.
Correct.
You've got it's almost a basic third grade division problem right there. You can just do it. I mean, you should be able to look at that and say 500 over 320. I mean, seriously?
Right. Yeah, it doesn't go in twice.
Right. And they write it in case you don't know how many zeros we're writing millions. So it's million right. and million. All we got to do now is 500 over 327. And they can't figure it out. This is what drives me crazy also. This is the whole problem that we've got. We've lost $1.7 trillion in value in the stock market because of over the coronavirus or over Bernie Sanders, okay?
Right.
Whichever one you want to blame. The right says it was Bernie Sanders. The left says it was the coronavirus. Any way you cut it, we've lost now, I think, almost $3.5 trillion in value. So there's right. $3.5 trillion that has evaporated. And you know why? If Drew were here, I think he would echo me. It's because people don't understand fatality rate. They don't understand.
Right. They can't do the math.
They can't do the math. They can't figure out that unless you've got the testing and you know for sure how many people have been exposed and how many people are dying, you can't do the math. So you don't know. Is this worse than the flu? Is it better than the flu? We don't know. But let's just go into a fucking freaking panic when we don't know. And there's real world consequences because supply chains are all fucked up. People are dying in assisted living facilities because it's all fucked up. Nobody has any idea because they can't do math.
They can't do it. It's all good vibes. You have that editorial?
Wait a second, Los Angeles Times.
Let me hit eight sleep and then you can do
I
it.
I love eight sleep.
That's the gun editorial for the Times. So we have it there somewhere. Eightsleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. There's thousands of them. But there's only one technology that involves temperature. One mattress that uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep, the Pod by 8 Sleep. I'll tell you how good this thing is. I have it. I sleep on it every night. I gave my phone to Gary. I said, get this timer worked out on the app for the 8 Sleep. Somehow it got swapped around where it said Lynette's side, left side, whatever side.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up spending a night
On Lynette's side?
Well, I was on my side, but it was programmed for her.
Okay.
It was hot. I was tossing and turning the whole night. When I got up the next day,
what is it about our wives and the heat? I don't understand. I come home sometimes and it's like the house is at 78, and yeah. I don't know what's going on. It's chilly. You want me to turn it up? Right.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a math that Lynette puts it at 90 because she thinks it'll get to 73 faster.
Yes, there, do the math.
But, and I checked my score and I got like a 34 when I normally get like an 88. How much good quality sleep did you get the night before? And I realized Lynette got a horrible night's sleep because it wasn't dialed in for her. Research shows the link between sleep performance and temperature. The pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. And you just get a better night's sleep, you get a better charge on your battery, and you're much clearer, stronger, brighter the next day. And right now, you get $150 off, free shipping at 8sleep.com/doubt. That's E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/doubt. Gary, do you have that Times gun
teacher? I've got two here.
Go ahead.
There's one about Sandy Hook and one about Parkland.
Oh, God. Whatever the more recent one is. Parkland.
They both came out the same day.
Oh, really? The Los Angeles Times?
I'm looking at printouts that I found here. This is all alien to me. Kalen says he doesn't know. We never got.
Kalen lost weight?
We've done.
Kalen, have you lost weight?
Little tiny bit, what? 3 pounds.
Oh, okay.
That's a trained eye you got. All right, it's the Los Angeles Times op-ed where they're talking about arming teachers and how many people it would save, and so what if it saved?
Oh, I don't think that's either of these. Hold on, okay. I know what that is.
You know it. I'm saying it like you know it because I know you know
it. It's another one because obviously math is also obviously the backbone of statistics, and when people cite statistics, I sometimes want to just run headlong into a cement wall because you can't even explain. You can't even get to a basic like high school statistics level with somebody to even comprehend it. So
math is the opposite of feelings. It really is. They're two very separate parts of your brain. And math, if you do any kind of engineering and they talk about shear load and lateral load and all just tensions, and when you do building, when you do like earthquake rehab, it's just all one big math equation that's turning into the train weighs this much, the bridge spans this.
Yeah, wouldn't you like want somebody, I'm doing a rehab on a property, a gut rehab, and so I've got to do the load. I'm putting a penthouse on. I wonder if somebody, if you were given the choice, would you rather, when you're sleeping in that penthouse, have somebody who had feelings who figured out whether or not the load was appropriate? Or would you rather have somebody who actually just sat and did the math?
Right. So we now had our job. If you are a feelings-based person, you teach kindergarten to special needs kids. And or if you were a math-based person, you'd be an engineer.
And or you could – I'll give you – one of the most pivotal people in my educational career were two teachers, Mr. Jackson, who was an elementary school teacher, who was at base a math teacher, fourth or fifth grade, and then this Dr. Marzak, who was my logic professor in high school. And they – were total math. I mean, Rensselaer, you know, Polytechnic University grad, and the other guy was probably Caltech trained. But they just sat there and felt it was their duty to teach young minds how to do math. And he would – back then you could just – he would whack me upside the head with a slide rule if I said something. But – They just thought at fourth or fifth grade, you should learn how to do math in your head, and do division. So, like I was just pointing out to the on the screen there, if you see 500 million over 327 million, you should know intuitively. It should not – you don't even have to get to the math. You should know intuitively that is not $1 million, you know, per person. I mean, it's stunning.
See, to me, there's two sides of it. There's an actual – math side of it, and then there's like a morality side of it, because she's basically calling out old Whitey. You know what I mean? He could have given everyone $1 million. See, you have to think. She screwed up the math, but her feelings are very true.
Well,
why do all the people deserve $1 million? What would they do with that $1 million? Why is it Bloomberg's job to make everyone rich?
But it cuts across the entire spectrum, in my humble opinion. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, how is this a New York Times? I know who she is. I've read stuff. I've seen her before. She's incredibly smart. And Brian Williams, I've always been kind of a fan of his delivery, his use of language. Yep. And they must hate him in the control room. I mean, that's all I can think of. Because somebody – you're not telling me that the entire NBC studio, nobody saw that thing and said, hey, wait a second here. $1 million a person? No, I mean, nobody figured that out? And all I could think of when I was watching it is – I sat with the witness yesterday and had to go through. I put it on a blackboard. I'll send it to you, Gary. You can watch it. Because I took a picture. I said, okay, here's $15 million. Okay. The wire transfer got reversed, right? Yeah. Okay. So then they tried it again. And the wire transfer got reversed because why? The guy goes, too large. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. The next one, how much was that? $9 million. Okay. Did it get reversed? Yeah. Because it was too large? Yeah. Okay. The next one, $2 million. Yeah. So did that get reversed? Yeah. Do you see a pattern here in a week from 15 to 9 to 2? The guy goes, well, yeah, they all got reversed. I said, no, do you see a pattern here? I said, and he says, well, no. I said, isn't the pattern that they tried at 15, it was too large. They went to 9 under 10 million, it was too large. Then they went to 2, it was too large. And the guy goes, well, I've never really thought of it that way. I said, how long have you been on this case? I don't know, 2 years. Oh, okay. You never thought 15, 9 to 2 that there was a pattern. I mean, that's... Yeah. That's America. That's what you're dealing with. I mean, to me, that's when I, and they wonder why they tell me to sit down, shut up, and take a breath at the end of the day. Because I said, I don't even know what universe I'm in.
Know what we need? I'll tell you what we need. You and I, and I'll bring a few of my friends, you know, Nick Santora, maybe Kevin Hench, Dr. Drew. You bring a few of your guys that are in our same demographic. Exactly. And we'll call it Yelling Island. And everyone will think we're there to have sex with underage girls, but we're really there just to go, I can't believe what the fuck is everyone thinking. Exactly. Goddamn, my Uber guy the other day. Jesus, goddamn Christ, what's going on? I came home, one of my daughter's friends was roller skating through my goddamn house. Could you remember when you were a kid? Could you even know over Dave Vendig's house and roller skating when his dad came home? She's eating fucking Cheetos. She doesn't even have a plate. She's out wiping her hand on the sofa. God damn it.
It's astonishing. But first, I want to tell you about, just because I can't handle it, FreshBooks. As an entrepreneur, being good at your craft is important. Boy, is that true. But you have to stay compliant. And boy, is that true. Accounting needs to be mistake-free. Accounting, which is, by the way, math. So your books are ready for tax time. FreshBooks, accounting software designed to keep your books organized, handle those mistake-prone tasks like long division, automate invoices, log expense receipts so they're organized for tax time, accept credit cards and ACH payments. By the way, I actually, on the record, had to ask, what's an ACH payment? The guy goes, I don't know. To get paid 2 times faster, save up to 200 hours a year, by the way, free. Gary, once again, another Reasonable Doubt freebie. Free 30-day trial of FreshBooks. No credit card required, which is always a key. They know that they've got the product if they're not requiring it. Go to FreshBooks.com/doubt. Enter Reasonable Doubt. If you can't spell that, go back to trying to divide 327 into 500. In the new How Did You Hear About Us section. Reasonable Doubt in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
So, Gary, op-ed and a story that made me think of Mark specifically because he's an attorney and a business owner, landlord, is the Lady Gaga's dad case, I think, out of Grand Central.
Well, can I talk to you about that? Because
I figured you'd know about that. Op-ed. Do we have that op-ed?
Sure. It's from the LA Times, and it was shortly after the Parkland shooting. I'll read an excerpt here.
Here's some excellent math being done in the op-ed department of Los Angeles Times.
As a society, we tend to become particularly shocked, at least for a few minutes, when someone shoots down children and young adults while they're attending classes in what should be a positive, nurturing, and safe environment.
Well, that's a vibes there. That ain't math.
But even if we're shocked...
Nurturing.
But even if we're shocked, we tolerate it. Our outrage is more Pavlovian than visceral. We listen to the bleatings of the gun entitlists that, well, if those teachers had guns, then this wouldn't have been as bad. Been as bad. Think about that. If a pistol-strapping chemistry teacher had grabbed her 45 and unloaded on today's gunman after he killed, what, one student, three, five, that would be good news?
No. No, queen of the math. That would be much better for the other nine kids that were dead if the guy who had the pistol, who was teaching chemistry, shot the nut job kid after he only shot one kid. So, yes, math major, it would be much better, just like if there's an airplane crash and three people die, or there's an airplane crash and 300 people die. It's never good news. It's just worse when 300 people die versus three. So, yes, if the person that was strapped, the teacher that was strapped, shot the gunman after they'd killed one person versus 10, then yes, it would be very good news for the parents of the nine that did not get killed by
yes.
the gunman.
Yes. Thank you for that math.
Yeah. Right? And she's like, she poses it as a sassy question. Like, would that be better? Yes, it would. That is math.
Thank you, Lieutenant Obvious.
I have an interesting.
Is it a guy?
Ugh. It's written by the editorial board, so I'm not sure. I have an interesting thought here. I don't know, but the restaurant in question from the Lady Gaga story is in the dining terrace of Grand Central Station. Is that where you have a location?
It's exactly where my Prova Pizza, my Prova Pizza is literally a garlic knot throw away from Lady Gaga's father's place. And he is so right. In fact, if I wasn't in trial in Utah, I would have walked over to his place and say, dude, normally I would charge you by the hour. This case I love so much I take on contingency because I'm with you and I'm going to join the other tenants there. It's unbelievable what's happening there. I mean, they were down on the lower level, and because it's nice and heated and very well adorned, and because there's trays of food that are coming out, and
is this under the garden?
No, this is
Grand Central.
Grand Central.
Under the garden is Penn Station. Sorry.
So this is beautiful. I mean, it's one of the most gorgeous. When you walk in on the, I think it's the 40 whatever street side. Cipriani's is on your right.
Is that his place?
Yeah, and then on the no, it's not. That's Harry's. And Jordan's is on the left, and then there's this gorgeous, gorgeous foyer. Apple has done a beautiful kind of built an in-store location there. Then you go
it's
down the
beautiful
escalators.
Too. What? That Apple store looks like a museum. It's open air. There's no walls. It's crazy.
It's crazy what they've done with this. It's a beautiful edifice. But the problem is the food court is down below, and that is extremely well done. It's beautiful as well. But it's like an indoor insane asylum. The people are drawn there. They don't do anything about
it. The homeless people.
The homeless. But it's, you know, this is, if you check out the crowd, there's a difference in my mind between somebody who is in extreme throes of a schizophrenic break versus somebody who just is down on their luck and doesn't have a place to stay. I mean, and I think I know that I probably shouldn't say this and I'll get excoriated for it, but I think you can tell the difference between Dr. Alien and some family that doesn't have a place to live. And they've got what would look like an annex of Bellevue, which is the mental hospital over there, which, by the way, Harvey just left after they put a stent in his heart. And they do nothing about it, absolutely nothing about it. Yet they get premium rent. I won't even get into it. I'm probably under some NDA or something. But trust me, the rent in Grand Central is not inexpensive. And poor Lady Gaga's dad, who's trying to eke out a living down the way from us, is having a devil of a time and started. Gary, what did he say that his rent was originally? I'm not violating any NDA because this was published. So.
All I know for sure in this story is that he's withholding $260,000, but I'll look and see if he says what it is.
Yeah, I think
monthly.
I read an article which said he was paying $30,000 a month or something.
Well, I've been kicking around the idea a million. All I do is think about it. I think about it with you and facility in downtown and the restaurants and Tenney and Garagos, the law firm. And I think about these poor guys that are putting these shrubs out on the front sidewalk so the homeless guys don't set up camp there. And then the city sends them a summons to tear the shrub down.
Get this. So I've got a second Grand Central, a second location of Moxie, at the Moxie for Prova. And it's on the
Where's
corner.
Where's the Moxie, sir?
The Moxie is in New York Times Square. Mm-hmm. So it's a second Prova location. And there were three lunch trucks that would park on the sidewalk outside of where we are paying a exorbitant amount of rent for right. the Brooks and Mortar location. So somehow planters got put up on there.
Right.
And so now the Moxie has received a summons because planters are put up because the sidewalks are no longer available for a guy to drive his lunch truck or van up and operate on the sidewalk. And by the way, not pay rent. And I guarantee you they're not paying taxes. And I guarantee you that the health department is not doing inspections.
Oh, when I drove home from the forum a couple of weeks ago and I just cut through the city all the way from the forum to the 110, I saw back in the day, they'd have the shopping cart with the propane tank on it. They're making right.
The bacon wrapped dogs.
They have full throw up tents, generators, lights. I mean, they're taking up 25 feet on a sidewalk. There's a full buffet.
Can you imagine? It's the greatest thing in the world. If I didn't have to pay rent and I could just scarf the sidewalk, or I could scarf Lebanon Alley and just say, I'm not paying rent, I'm just squatting here. That's rent is generally, I was going to use some numbers. Okay, this is
$40,000 in rent and $10,000 in fees per month. So says Gary for Lady Gaga's.
Right.
Look. So rent, but it's not only rent. It's the taxes and it's the inspections with the health being compliant.
You've got to be compliant and everything else. I mean, understand this for those who don't run a business of some kind. That means before you ever get to a nickel's worth of profit. Because rent's due on the first of the month,
right.
you're putting money down, and then you're spending the rest of the month trying to make it back.
Right.
So if you're also getting on top of it in the city of L.A., they like to take a 1.5% of whatever your gross is. I mean, they're right. not even looking for the net.
Wow.
They're like the mafia. It's right. it's 1.5% off the gross. At a certain point, you say to yourself, why am I doing this? I guarantee you, guaranteed, you know, sue me if I'm wrong, that the lunch truck operators who are parked all around on 7th Street, do you think they're paying the city of LA's tax at 1.5% of their gross?
No, they're not paying anything. And that's the thing. I mean, I had a whole kind of went viral a few weeks ago when I was on Tucker Carlson because
He
was asking about the homeless population. I was like, look, LA's broken the city into two halves, people that have checking accounts and people that are empty bags. And if you're an empty bag, we don't care. You do what you want. If you have a checking account, we're all up in your grill.
Joe, absolutely.
And that's how it works. And like, speaking of the grill, we'll pull you over for no front license plate. If you don't have any money and you have an illegal license and your car's not registered, whatever, we don't even tow it anymore because it costs money and you never come pick it up. So they busted it off into the haves and the have-nots. And Lady Gaga's dad is a have, but eventually the haves will bend for a long time, but eventually they break, and it's getting to the breaking point. See, that's where we're at. That's what Lady Gaga's dad's doing.
One of the things you said maybe three episodes ago that has gotten more traction for me personally than virtually anything you've said recently other than Tucker Carlson is the property tax protest. I can't tell you the number of, because whenever I'm in town on the weekends, I'm usually patronizing one of the other downtown establishments, and I know most of the guys around me and women around me, and they all said, we really should, as a downtown business community, just say either protest the property tax or protest the LA city tax, because as you walk down 7th Street, which was designed originally 15 years ago to be the restaurant row for downtown LA, it's like an open, it's
bizarre.
It's a complete bizarre.
Well, look, here's the thing about the city. I don't think they're good or they're bad. They just do whatever they're compelled to do. And Hollywood had a bunch of runaway productions, you know, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. Everyone just picked up and went to Atlanta, went to Prague, went to Canada, went to everywhere. They went everywhere. They all picked up and left.
Because, New Mexico?
Yeah, because what was the city doing? Well, the city does what they always do. They go, what are you guys doing here? It's like, we want to conduct business. What do you want to do? We want to film on this street. Oh, all right. We need to get paid. Yeah, how do we get paid? Well, we need permits. We need, you got off-duty LAPD guys. You got to pay them golden time. And then the building in the back, that's a library. That's our building. You got to pay us, got to pay us, got to pay us, got to pay the union guys. You got to pay everything. And eventually, the filmmakers went, yeah, fuck it. We'll go to New Mexico.
Yeah. And well, by the way, they give me a tax credit on top of it.
Right. Well, New Mexico's not dumb. They're going, yeah, come on down. Mm-hmm. So then they send all these millions of tax dollars and billions of tax dollars to everywhere but here. And then at some point, Los Angeles goes, yeah, you know that whole part where we're charging a whole bunch for the fees this year. We're just going to go ahead and waive that. So come on the back there. But they're not good. They're not bad. They're just greedy. And they realize they'd rather get, you know, 10% of something than 30% of zero, which is what they were getting. So they changed their whole vibe. And now they're offering incentives and people are drifting back and filming here. So
which goes back to the whole thing. That tax policy, for whatever you say about it, tax policy drives behavior. And that's, yeah, and there is nothing good, bad, or indifferent about it, as you're saying. It's just, that's what it does. So if you're going to drive behavior, what is the message when you're taxing the shit out of bricks and mortar and people who are there paying you money? And you're not doing it at the same time. You're legitimizing the people who don't pay it.
I've always said it. I said it to a fella at one of your parties when I was discussing. He was a district selectman from the Glendale area or something like that.
Right.
And I said to him, "Hey, man, right behind my shop, it's all construction materials. People dump stucco, drywall, busted out toilets. You know what I mean? Tile." They bust it all out. They dump it here because the dump charges $110.
Right.
And they can dump it on this street for free.
They can dump it behind that cheap-ass masonry wall that they put up next to the freeway.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what you won't find in all of the debris and all the trash and all the rubble? No aluminum cans. Mm-hmm. Why? Those are 3 cents a piece.
Right.
Those get gathered up and taken to the center. That's 5 blocks that way. So I go, we know what people do. We just got to get them to do it. You're not getting them to do what you want them to do. You're charging $120 for the dump, and they're dumping it for free. Here, go to the goddamn Home Depot and give them a voucher. Give them a voucher for free dump and a six-pack of Tecate, and they'll fill that dump with all the shit that's now on the street behind us.
Right, and you won't be paying a zillion people
to clean it.
I know. It's just these are not.
Right, but it's a math. And it's why you want somebody who's done the math in a position of power, not the career politician.
I read an article last night, speaking of which was, and I want to say it was the governor of Indiana or there was the whoever runs Purdue. And they're talking about, the whole article was, that he's been able to keep the tuition at $9,992 a year. And he does it by basically doing the math. I guess he worked under George W. Bush in some capacity. Maybe it was in the Office of Budget and Management, and Bush his nickname was the Blade, I think, and I wish I could remember this guy's name. But he has figured out Mitch Daniels, very good.
Nice.
And Mitch Daniels has figured out that am I right on the amount, Gary? 9,992?
Correct. And it's been frozen there for 7 years.
Right. And so now it's become a thing because he understands the math. He says at one point somebody tried to raise it to 10,002 and it was for a $10 gym fee.
Right.
And he went and he realized that the gym was just spending the $10 on nothing. And so he fixed that. Now what he's learned is it attracts people because they know that it's fixed. It's not going to go up. If your kid comes in as a freshman, it's not going to go up by the time they're a senior. They've got all the alumni love it, and so that brings in the more contributions. They've done incredible things just by being thrifty and right. by understanding. One of the things that he said was in this article was about textbooks. The textbooks were going crazy. So he cut a deal with Amazon. And it was a huge furor, but guess what happened? It turned out that it saved people money. So you just cut deals in every single spot, and all of a sudden this is a wild success story of higher education.
The Amazon deal saved students 30% on average.
Yeah. All right. That's what I'm saying.
Do math. But right. And he met every – it's a story in obstacles that he met from idiots.
Of course.
Right?
Right. But Eric Garcetti would never do that. And what Eric Garcetti is going to want is every kid in LA Unified to have a tablet. And he's not only going to not get a bulk deal, he's going to spend $150 a unit more than you would pay if you went to the Apple store per unit after he's going to purchase 200,000 of these things. That ain't a business.
Exactly. As opposed to, I got an idea. Why not license Apple to be the official supplier,
right.
get a payment, let them sell to students or something? Why not do a private public enterprise?
Don't care. Don't know.
Don't know.
Not never, their money.
Never run a business.
I want to tease Weinstein. He went from the hospital to Rikers. Let me ask you this. He gets heart surgery. He has doctors and he has money.
Right.
Can he get his guy in there? Because I don't know if I want the county guy with the shaky hand working on my heart, you know, if I'm Harvey. All right. First, let me hit Oracle by NetSuite. What a companies like? Well, I'll give you like Ring. By the way, that's a good company.
Ring great.
I'll give you a hint. Or Tecovis, who do the boots. I'll give you a hint, by the way. They want to accelerate their growth, and they want to do it with NetSuite. Yeah. If you want to take your company from $2 million to $10 million, $10 million to hundreds of millions in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools to turbocharge your growth, get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. Everything at Oracle by NetSuite. Everything you need to grow it in one place, right from your phone or your computer. NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. How about that, everybody? World's number one cloud-based business system, trusted by 19,000-plus companies. NetSuite. Business grows here. Right, Gary?
That's right. Schedule your free product tour right now and get your free guide, 6 Ways to Run a More Profitable Business, at netsuite.com/doubt. That's netsuite.com/doubt, netsuite.com/doubt.
Hey, Gary, you got some late-breaking news, don't you?
Yeah, as you guys are recording, they canceled the South by Southwest Festival, and someone sent me the news. It was Dave Damashek, actually, and he said it might be – he wanted to get Garrigus' take, maybe after the Weinstein thing, on – about all the people who have spent money, bought tickets, booked flights, hotel rooms, how they recoup that cost, and just sort of the financial impact of, you know, a cancellation of an event of that size.
Oh, good. Fuck Southwest Festival or whatever, South by Southwest. We had one of the biggest movie companies ever come to us wanting to talk about Uppity and doing Uppity the feature and Atlas Entertainment. They do Wonder Woman and everything, right? They're massive. And then Mike August and Nate and I, who made the film, we're like, oh, that's good. They saw it on Netflix. They know it's a good story. They want to go do something with it. We'll go talk to them. And then Mike stopped and he went, you know what? We didn't get this goddamn movie in the South by Southwest. We didn't get into Sundance. We didn't get into Tribeca. All those fucking snobs just said, no, I don't want anything with that idiot Adam Carolla's name on it. So fuck all those festivals. I got no love for you. I hope they're all shut down forever, because I'm on maybe my 7th film that has not gotten in.
You may get a surprise on Uppity if Atlas doesn't take it. I think there's some traction being made there. But wait, first I want to talk about Harvey, because he's, for those who aren't in the weeds on the story, when he was on his way to Rikers after he was remanded into custody after the two guilty counts on the 5 that he was tried on, he had apparently a blood pressure surge, chest pains. They took him to Bellevue, which we mentioned earlier in the show, but is traditionally known as a mental hospital, or anecdotally, but it's a hospital in New York. He was there and had surgery with this week to have a stent put in because he had had a issue there, obviously. And as soon as they did that, shipped him over to Rikers. And your question was,
whose doctor is it? Look, I would like Weinstein's doctor to do it and his insurance to pay for it, like not the county.
Yeah. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that the that there's no way they would have allowed that, and it was probably on the taxpayers' dime.
I know they wouldn't allow it, but like, why wouldn't you allow
and
that?
This is the guy was out for on the very restrictive bail conditions and millions of dollars in bail. And he gets sentenced on March 11th, and he's got a case here in L.A. He's immediately after he gets sentenced, my opinion, the DA will issue what's called a detainer ad prosequendum. No matter what he gets sentenced to, and he's probably going to get 20 years in New York, they're going to bring him out here, and they're going to try him out here. So he's not going anywhere. So why wouldn't you save, you know, what do you think a stay like that's going to cost to have a stent implant? It's not going to be less than 50 grand,
no,
is it?
Right.
Right. But then again, it's not their money. They're not running a business. Who gives a crap? The criminal justice system is based on the idea that there is no budget, except when it comes to the defense. If there's a defense lawyer or public defender or something like that, we're going to grind the shit out of them. But when it comes to the prosecution, the housing, things of that nature, no, it's a blank check, or is the old Edward Bennett Williams joke about George Allen. I gave him a blank check and he exceeded it already.
The Redskins coach.
Yeah.
Jackie Lacey,
as of right
husband.
Now.
That guy's awesome. I want to marry that guy.
Ugh. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so Black Lives Matter comes to their door, I believe the Monday before the election this past week on Tuesday, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. And Gary, do you have the tape? Because it went viral.
Yeah, we'll pull it up
now. If Black Lives Matter, if those guys showed up on my doorstep, Lynette'd be like, oh, he's upstairs napping. Go ahead. Go in. Just shut the door behind you. The kids are playing video games.
So this went viral. And then Gary, play Jackie's, if you've got it, and I apologize. Here it is. There's her husband.
Right now, get off.
Good morning.
Get off of my porch. I will shoot you. Get off of my porch.
Can you tell Jackie Lacey that we're here?
I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. Get off of my porch.
We'll get off your
right
porch.
Now. We're calling the police right
Point
now.
A gun.
Okay,
people are inordinately calm about having guns pointed at them.
She says, could you tell Jackie Lacey that we're here? Now, Gary, there's a press conference that Jackie gave. And Jackie was in what everybody thought was going to be a very close race. Going into the Tuesday election, everybody thought that George Gascon, who was the San Francisco, would move down here.
Let's get more of that. Spread it around.
So everybody thought that this was going to be a tight race. Then Jackie does this press conference, which I hope Gary can come up. And it was a very heartfelt. She's obviously very emotional. Oh yeah, there's a picture of it.
And it was just him and I in that house. And we really didn't know what was about to happen. I'm a public servant. I've dedicated my life to the profession that stands up for victims of violent crime. And I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah, and so now the votes, by the way, we could talk about another math, the LA County Registrar. I don't know who you are. I've never met you. You must be a fine woman or a fine man. But in today's day and age, if you can't count the votes by the Friday after the Tuesday election, There's a real problem. I mean, that's it is part of a, this theme should be math because, yes. I mean, here it is Friday and we don't know if Jackie is in a runoff or not against Gascon. Her total is going down day by day, but they're counting about 100,000 votes a day in a county of the size of Los Angeles, which is larger than God knows how many states in terms of population and registered and likely voters and actual voters. We still don't know if there's, and it's not a close race. It's basically, she started at 54.9. She has to get 50% plus one. The other two, Rachel Rossi, who's the XPD, and Gascon, are in the 20s. So you could kind of figure out that yes or no, this has got to be done fairly simply, but they're only 2/3 of the way through 3 days later. That's our county. That's where we live, Adam.
Well, I'll tell you, it is this kind of thing where it's like the more you know, the more incompetent they seem. And when I was growing up, it's like the mayor's Sam Yorty and he knows what he's doing. And you just move on with your life, you know. You didn't hear about all the granular minutiae that you realize at almost every turn now, they're just doing something that's wildly inept. And
well,
I'm sure they were always doing it that way.
The guy in the city of L.A. who history has been very kind to, although only for guys of you and my vintage, is Richard Reardon. Now, I was never a Reardon confidant, supporter, or anything else. He was, he was a Republican who was the mayor of L.A. and probably on most issues we probably disagreed. But in retrospect, damn. A man among men in terms of running the city. I mean, and by the way, he was a guy who knew how to make money and he knew how to run things.
Yeah, there's a funny thing. Like I looked back once on when's the last time we did a comprehensive traffic study or homeless or something. And I went back and was like, not this guy. Not Villaraigosa, not whatever. It went back to Reardon. Like, if you want to go, when's the last time Los Angeles did fill in the blank something good? You go back four guys and you get to Reardon.
Well, guess why? Because Reardon, before he ran, owned and bought the Pantry and redeveloped the site and still owns the Pantry.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Reardon's Tavern right next door. So he's two blocks from where I am at Engine Company, running a food service establishment.
Right.
Smack dab in downtown. And he's been there for longer than an Engine Company has. But, we've been there for decades. And he gets it. I mean, he understood what you had to do in order to have people thrive downtown. And that's the problem that we've currently got. Speaking of which, stay on pause and then LegalZoom. Still early in the year, not even the end of the first quarter. But if you run a small business, 2020 will fly by. Use LegalZoom right now to make sure you're set up for success. For 19 years, LegalZoom has helped over 2 million Americans start their businesses by incorporating, forming an LLC, and more. By the way, I always like to give them a shout out. They also showed an immense amount of class when my brother-in-law passed away. This is an organization with a heart. After you're set up, LegalZoom can still help with costly hurdles that take time from growing your business, like lease agreements, tax laws, and contract reviews. They've got a network of independent attorneys and tax professionals that can provide advice on all those and more. You'll never get charged by the hour. What are the hated billable hour? Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Go to LegalZoom.com today and enter promo code DOUBT in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, code DOUBT. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
So Weinstein's going to go to Rikers.
He's at Rikers.
What is the timetable on him coming to
Well,
LA?
He gets sentenced on March 11th. So L.A. generally could not get him. And this is one of the reasons that I assume they did not file for bail on appeal in New York, because the minute that they filed for bail on appeal for New York, they would have slapped him. There would have been what's called a detainer out of L.A. He would have gone right back into custody unless he came to L.A. So the thinking, I'm sure, was let's get him sentenced. That'll force L.A.'s hand. L.A. will have to issue what's called a writ ad prosequendum, which is the Latin for we want to prosecute you. And and they'll bring him to L.A. He'll probably be put in Twin Towers, which is the medical facility, and he will have a right once the detainer under the interstate compact is filed to have a trial within 180 days.
What's it look like for him on trial out here, and what kind of zoo is that going to be?
It's going to be – I mean, you thought New York was bad. I can see L.A. being – incredible. I mean, incredible in the sense that. Look, right now there's a trial that I thought would get a lot of attention, and nobody's heard of it. Do you remember the HBO special Jinx on Robert Durst?
Right.
That trial's going on in L.A. right now.
Really?
And nobody's – it's like unheard of. I'm not talked about. I mean, Robert Durst is on trial at the LAX court.
Right.
And nobody's – I mean, it's gotten no traction whatsoever. I have to Google to find out. I haven't – to know what's going on. I'm interested in it. Dick DeGaron and Dave Chestnoff are the lawyers. Very good – I mean, outstanding lawyers. Not very good. Outstanding lawyers. I mean, it's quite a an engaging, whether he did it or not.
Right.
I mean, HBO did very well with the series, and you would think that this thing would have all kinds of traction. It's gotten nowhere.
Coronavirus. By the way, you pointed at Burbank Airport.
Yeah.
I'm a stickler for pointing. You got to go that way.
Yeah, by the way, okay. Well, I'm turned around. When I come in here, you do the pinata thing. You blindfold me, and then you twirl me.
So Weinstein, who's going to represent the victims? And
I'm sure Gloria Allred. The one woman.
Is she going into court?
Yeah. And they tried to muzzle her in New York, and Judge Burke wouldn't do it.
But she's going to go in and as the attorney.
No,
and
no.
Make,
she never does that.
That's what I'm saying.
LADA. The LADA.
LADA.
And I forget who's assigned to the case. I saw it's a he, I believe, because I saw him quoted. Although it could be just the head of sex crimes, and maybe they've got a line deputy. I will get in the weeds once he gets out here and find out.
Is there any on that note, is there ever any supplemental attorneys? Like the LADA is going to try everything.
Right.
Let's say I'm the husband of one of the alleged victims, and I go, I don't want Darden and Marsha Clark fucking this one up. I want to get Garagos in there to help supplement. Like
you can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Why can't I do it?
The DA's office has complete dominion and control on assignment of who does the
case.
Could I
call you an outside contractor, associate, advice, whatever, where you could like confab with them after the court? Because I feel like I'd be sitting there going, these guys are screwing this thing 10 ways to Sunday. And then Garagos, like after the day, would sit down with a dry erase board.
Years ago, the California Constitution, I think by initiative, was changed to include a victim's bill of rights. When I say years ago, I mean years ago. And so – and then there's been various modifications or addendums or additions. And one of the things is to give the victim further rights in terms of you can't do this or that without consent or apprising the victim of it. So I suppose you could have input. But no, in terms of actually prosecuting the case, there would be constitutional I think challenges to any kind of somebody who has a financial interest in the outcome of the case be prosecuting the case. So, in fact, there's federal law on this where if a prosecutor has any kind of a financial stake in the outcome of the case, just like a federal judge, that and state court judicial opinions that say the same thing, you have to recuse yourself. Recuse means step out of it.
Last but not least. Chuck Schumer, and I heard something came down from the bar, and they were discussing Schumer and, you know, was he threatening Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and all that kind of stuff, and the bar sort of landed somewhere on it, but
deeply troubled.
They're deeply troubled, but What do you think happens, or what does it mean? It from people I hear on the right and left, it's like it's not a threat, but it's still
okay. This
you're threatening people that aren't voted into their position. So how, what are you threatening?
Well, they,
what
this,
is your threat?
I'll give you the argument on both sides, and then I'll give you my kind of takeaway on this. I will say that where would I fall generally? I generally would fall closer to Schumer than I would to Trump. So, but Schumer's statements about two Supreme Court judges where they're going to pay the price or this or that, if they were elected, this goes to your point, if they were elected officials, then I understand it. But they're not elected officials, they're lifetime appointments. I don't know what they could possibly mean about paying the price. At the same time, you've got Trump.
Well, it could mean somebody's going to get you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it
could
mean.
So immediately on the left, the reflexive response is, well, Trump said that Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg should recuse themselves in anything Trump-related based on their statements. Well, recusing themselves is different than you're going to pay the price, I think. I mean, if I were to make an argument in front of a federal judge to say that they told my client he was going to pay the price in some other context, as opposed to you should recuse yourself, Mr. Garrigus, or something like that, there's a demonstrable difference. So let's not just say any insult or anything that's directed at a Supreme Court justice is the same. It isn't the same. When you say somebody's going to pay the price, you got to tell me what did you mean by that when you're the Senate minority leader and you're saying somebody's going to pay the price. Are you exhorting somebody to violence? Then somebody's going to say, I can see this ping pong match, and they're going to say, well, Trump goes to rallies and says, don't you want to just punch this guy? In the old days, we'd punch him in the face. We'd slug him in the face. Yes, that is inciting violence. Yes, I can understand that. That's not the same as saying somebody should recuse themselves. So let's try to have some rigorous thought or at least just look at the language when we're dissecting this.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get sanctioned or censored.
No, the bar's not going to do anything. They're never going to do anything. The bar is too busy. They're too busy, you know, investigating, you know. Don't even get me started. The state bar we've laid off on for a year. We'll start next week having a daily state bar update.
All right. March 21st, Peterson Automotive Museum. If you're going to be around, we're doing a car show there.
I definitely want to go to that.
Drive your stick shift.
Right.
Leave the keys in it. None of the kids can drive it. They can't steal it.
That's exactly right. That's the one advantage. Yeah. I could leave that guy parked with $100 bills on the dashboard and it'll remain there.
No joyriding when you can't drive a stick. That's Peterson, 2 o'clock. We're doing a car cast there. We're showing Shelby American there. Peterson's beautiful, by the way.
It's the best.
And we're doing a car show, so come on out. I'm doing live shows everywhere, and you can check out Uppity and Shelby and everything on chassis, chassy.com. Mark, what do you got?
I've got Grand Central Terminal. Come down there. We can you can have a garlic knot with the crazies, and then go over to Moxie and visit the planters surrounding it right now before the city takes them away so that other people can squat on the sidewalk downtown. Come visit Dr. Alien at Engine Company 28, or go around the corner and see the outdoor toilet in front of 10E, Mediterranean Tapas. Stop by at LAX wherever, or go down to V Palm Springs, which, by the way, the one good thing about the coronavirus and the economy imploding right now, V Palm Springs, as far as my little is coining it. You know why? Nobody wants to go to Vegas. Nobody wants to go to Mexico because they don't want to get in an airplane. So they're all driving down to Palm Springs. I was just talking to my peeps down there before I got in the air. Palm Springs is hopping. I mean, you can get in your car, not have corona, and then you're there.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.